Inside of each of us, I believe there are three people. There's the person that we are today. That's person number one. The second person is the person that we could become if we allowed the devil to have control of our life. The third person that's inside of here is the person that we could become if we allow God to have complete control of our life. Today, we're going to talk about a man in the Bible that I believe demonstrates for us the person that we could become if we just allowed God to be God. If we allow God to have complete control, if we allow God to maximize us and to be maximized through us as we lived our everyday life. And we're going to read about this man from the book of 1 Chronicles. I hope you have your Bible with you today. If you have your Bible with you, I'm going to encourage you to open up to 1 Chronicles and open it up to the fourth chapter. It's not going to take you long when you get to 1 Chronicles to figure out that this book of the Bible is not the most exciting book of the Bible to read once you get started. In fact, when you start reading in 1 Chronicles, you're going to notice that for about 9 chapters, it seems like all you have is a list of names. In the first 9 chapters, there are over 500 names that are listed. And so after a while, you're like, all I'm doing is reading names. But I want you to notice today that when you get about halfway through these chapters, 44 names into chapter 4, the author is going to drop a name on us that we're going to pay attention to today. The author of this book, by the way, many believe is Ezra. And when you get to that verse in Scripture, right here in chapter 4, he's going to introduce us to a man named Jabez. Now, there are very few details that we actually know about the life of Jabez. We have no idea what this guy looked like. We don't know what he did for a living. We can make a couple assumptions about him, though. For instance, we can assume that he lived in the southern part of Israel. We know for a fact that he was born into the tribe of Judah. But beyond that, we don't have a lot of information about this man at all. But what we do know about Jabez really comes from two verses of Scripture right here in the middle of 1 Chronicles chapter 4. In fact, verse 9 says, Jabez was more honored than his brothers. His mother named him Jabez and said, I gave birth to him in pain. I remember many years ago when Audra was pregnant, before we even knew if we were having a boy or a girl, we did what many parents or soon-to-be parents do. We started creating a list of names, list of potential names that our one-day son or one-day daughter may have. And we came up with a pretty significant list of names. But I thought it would be a really good idea to also create a list of names that would never be the name of our child. And let me just say, if you've ever put that list together, it's just out there, right? Just saying, hey, in case I pass out or I'm not around when the decision is made, do not name my child this or that. And I'll tell you, at the very top of the list for my daughter, we're not going to call her Jezebel. I don't care what you say. We're not going to name her Jezebel. And our son will never be named Judas. And so I just wanted to put it out there as a name list that would never be their name. You know, when I started reading about Jabez, I thought that's kind of a cool name. It sounds like a cool name that we could name our kid. But really, when you look at this name, I think I would add it to the name list with Judas and Jezebel. What it just said in verse 9 was this. It tells us his mother named him Jabez and said, I gave birth to him in pain. Here's what you can know about the name Jabez. In the Hebrew language, the name Jabez literally means he causes pain. If you want to get more specific, the word Jabez means pain. It came from a root word meaning sorrowful or painful or to grieve. So if you're taking notes about what we know about Jabez today, the first thing that I would encourage you to write down is this. His name was a handicap. His name was a handicap. Many scholars believe that he was given this name simply because his mother experienced so much trauma when she was giving birth to little Jabez. Perhaps he was born breech. Others suggest that Jabez was born with some sort of physical handicap that would have grieved his mother's heart. But I want to point out that either way, if this was a man that was born with a handicap or not, from the very first moment of Jabez's life, his name was a handicap. He was born with the name Pain, and everybody that met him thought that, you know what, he will never amount to anything. He was born into a reality where he inherited a label. He was born with a certain stigma that could have easily been a setback. It could have very easily been this defining characteristic of his life if he would have allowed it. Let me ask you, were you born with a stigma? Was anybody here born into a setback? You didn't have any vote, but this is just your reality at the time you were born. Man, I've met people that would say, you know what, you're talking to me. I was born into a reality that stinks. From the time I was born, I wasn't very smart. From the time I was born, I didn't have the best personality. I was born on the wrong side of the tracks to the wrong set of parents. I was born into a family situation that was terrible. Listen, there are a lot of us that could probably say, I was born with a certain stigma that could be very easily seen as a setback. And Jabez could have said the same. He was born into a similar circumstance. And yet what you're going to see today is this, that Jabez was a man that lived in a way that said, I may not be qualified, I may not have the greatest gifts or abilities, but I'm going to take what God has given me and I'm going to live in a way that makes a difference. I think that's my favorite thing about the life of Jabez. It's the fact that he started out with a handicap, right? He started out with a setback, but he didn't get stuck in this setback. He believed God for more. Verse 9 tells us that his name was a handicap. The second thing that verse 9 tells us is that his life was honored. It says that in verse 9, Jabez was more honored than his brothers. The Bible tells us that Jabez must have lived his life well, because it said that he was more honored than others. That word honored in the Hebrew was a word that meant numerous, it meant rich, it meant prosperous. Get those three words in your notes today. Numerous and rich and prosperous. It was a word that was used to express extreme blessings of God. Not just normal blessings, but extreme, excessive blessings. It says that he was more honored than others. That word honored, it not only talks about being rich or prosperous, it also has a second meaning that means to be heavy. And at first I thought that was kind of strange. This word honored, it means to be heavy. But then when you start to dive into why he used this particular word, the writer used this word honored, saying he was more honored than others. He was painting a picture of God blessing Jabez beyond normal blessings. He was heavily blessed. Does that make sense? He was weighed down with the blessings of God in his life. God loaded Jabez down with his greatest God-sized blessings. Anybody want that in their life? Man, I do. Listen, this kind of reminds me of what the psalmist said in Psalm 68:19. He said, "Blessed by the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits." Loadeth us. Now, I know that's the KJV. Most of us don't usually use the word loadeth, but I think it gives us a great image of what he's communicating here. God loadeth him with a heavy load of blessings upon his life. He was more honored than his brothers. So what do we know so far about Jabez? Well, from verse 9, we know two things. His name was a handicap, and his life was honored. But there's a third thing I want you to see about the life of Jabez, and that is his desire was to be maximized. This was a man that said, I want to be maximized in this life. I want to get the most out of this life. I want to tap out knowing I gave 100%, experienced 100%, I left nothing on the field. When you think about a life that was maximized on planet Earth, who do you think of? Man, as I thought about that this week, many people popped into my mind. But for some reason, there was one picture that I had, probably because I had just been reading about this guy. But it's Benjamin Franklin. I thought, if anybody can say I was maximized on the earth, it's Benjamin Franklin. Kind of a weird deal, kind of random. I understand that. But when you start to study what this guy accomplished on planet Earth, I believe very few people could come to the end of their life and say, I did more than that. I did more than him. Let me give you just a few examples of what I'm talking about. Very few people know that this man only had 2 years of formal education. 2 years. And yet at the age of 25, this was a man that founded the first library in America. When he was 31 years old, he founded the first fire department in the United States. At age 36, he invented the lightning rod. By the age of 40, he learned how to harness electricity and use electricity. I still don't even know what happens when I flip the light switch, y'all. But this is a guy who learned at 40 how to harness electricity. At 43 years old, he invented the heating stove that's still being used in some of our homes today. At 45 years old, he founded one of our Ivy League universities, the University of Pennsylvania. At the age of 79 years old, he invented bifocals. Can I get an amen from some blind people in the room? Amen. Listen, this is a guy at 79, he did that. He was a renowned conversationalist. This was an economist. He was a philosopher. He was a diplomat. He was a publisher. He was a printer. He was even a linguist, which means he could not only read, but also he could speak five different languages. This was a man that never stopped discovering. He never stopped producing. He never stopped inventing, all until the day he died at the age of 84. He literally lived the mantra of being maximized. In fact, he was the one that said, "Do you love life? Then don't waste time, because time is life." When I think about Jabez, even with the limited knowledge that we have of this man, I think this was his mantra as well. Jabez was a man that didn't want to waste time. He wanted to maximize every second that God would give him on this planet, because he wanted to make the most of his time. He also realized that he couldn't achieve his maximum potential in his own strength or by his own power. So what did Jabez do? The Bible said he prayed. Look at verse 10. Jabez called out to the God of Israel, "If only you would bless me, extend my border, let your hand be with me, and keep me from harm so that I will not experience pain." Listen, the life that wants to be maximized for God is a life that needs to tap into the power of prayer. And that's what Jabez is going to show us today. Prayer changed his life. In fact, if you want to summarize the entire life story of Jabez and you want to do it very simply, this is what his timeline would look like. Number one, he started out badly. Number two, he prayed a powerful prayer. And number three, God blessed him supernaturally. And I know that sounds oversimplified, but it's true. Say what you want about prosperity this or prosperity that. You cannot read this scripture and deny the fact that God heard this man's powerful prayer. He heard four simple requests out of the mouth of Jabez, and then God responded with supernatural blessings. In fact, look at the final words of verse 10. It says, "And God granted his request." So what did Jabez pray that day? He said, number one, "Lord, bless me. Bless me." Number two, he said, "Extend my border." Number three, he said, "Keep your hand on me." And number four, he said, "Keep me from harm." Another word for evil. And the Bible says that God did exactly what he asked. I don't know about you guys, but I want God to dump a heavy load of his blessings upon my life. Am I the only one in the room? Listen, I want him to loadeth my life daily with his benefits, like the scripture says. And I want to live a life that's maximized on planet Earth. But I also realize that if that's going to happen, if that's going to be my life story, then it's going to be because of something that God did in me and that God did through me and nothing else. See, Jabez began this prayer by saying, "God, bless me." And some of us read that and we're like, "Man, Jabez, you're so selfish. Out of all the things you can be praying for, you're going to lead off with that." You're like, "Oh, God, bless me." And the answer is yes. God, bless me. That is my prayer. And many of us are like, why would you start off by asking God to bless me? Let me ask you this. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you ask God to bless your life? Let me ask you a personal question. Do you believe that God can bless you? I do too. So if we believe that God is the holder of all blessings, if we believe that God is the source of all blessings, then why in the world wouldn't we ask him to bless our lives? He wants you to ask him. In Matthew 7:7, Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Then you flip over to James chapter 4, verse 2, and it says, you desire and you do not have. And then it goes on to say, you do not have because you do not ask. So if you believe that God is capable of blessing, and you have faith that God could bless you if he wanted to, then why in the world wouldn't we ask him to bless us? Someone said, because I don't feel like I'm a candidate for his blessings. That's why. I don't feel worthy of more. I don't feel like I'm in a position where I can ask God for more. Can I remind you of something today? If you are a child of God and you are living for God, then you are a candidate for the blessings of God. Can I get an amen from somebody? That's what the Bible's gonna teach us. If you're a child of God, some of you say, I can check that box, I'm a child of God. And if you're living for God, some of us can check that box, then you are a candidate for the blessings of God. Look at those words again in James chapter 4. Personalize them today. He said, you as a person, you today, you do not have because you do not ask. Have you ever stopped to consider what the unclaimed blessings are in your life? Man, when I read these words in James chapter 4, verse 2, I just can't help but imagine this scene. I imagine a huge wooden barn filled to the top, filled to the brim with the unbelievable blessings of Almighty God. That's the image that I have in my mind. Unbelievable blessings. This barn filled with these things that God intended to bless me with in my life. And yet I can't help but wonder, and it haunts me to think about all the things that I've missed out on because I've been so prideful in my life. Because I've been so self-sufficient, because I've been too focused on doing and achieving and acquiring in my own power and my own strength, I can't help but think about all that I've missed out on experiencing that God intended for me to have and God intended for me to be blessed by. Listen, don't you ever think about what you've missed out on because you simply didn't have the faith to ask? God has been so good to us. No one in this place would argue that. And yet, even after experiencing the goodness of God our entire lives, I can't help but wonder, what are the blessings that we missed out on yesterday because we didn't have the courage or the faith to ask? See, Jabez was blessed because he had the courage and the faith to ask God for the blessings. He saw himself and he knew, I don't have the capacity or the capabilities of doing what God can. He is the source of blessing. He's the one that distributes blessing. And so I'm going to ask him by faith to do what I can't do for myself. You see, he was a man that realized, in order for me to be maximized, my humanity must be minimized. Let me say this, that's true for us today. In order for us to be maximized, our humanity must be minimized. Our humanity is what believes that we can do this without God, by the way. I don't necessarily need God. I don't need to talk to God or ask God for anything because I'm pretty self-sufficient. That's our humanity speaking. Our humanity is what prevents us from walking by faith. Why would we do that if we don't have to? When we can walk by sight. That's our humanity speaking. Our humanity is what keeps us from asking God to bless us because we're content with what we have. Our humanity is what leads us to settle for less than God's best. We're okay with not the best, so we're not even gonna go there. Jabez wasn't willing to settle, but instead he was driven by a desire to live beyond his limits. So what did he do? He prayed. He asked the Lord to bless him. And realize this request for God's blessing, it wasn't intended to make the name Jabez greater. It was intended to make God's name greater. He wasn't saying, Lord, bless me for me because I deserve more. I'm entitled to more. That wasn't the heart behind it as well. He was saying, bless me for you. I want to be used by you. And in the same way, we should be driven by a desire to live beyond our limits, not for our glory, but for his glory. That's why Jabez also prayed. Look at it. God, extend my border. He wasn't saying, God, I really wish I had a bigger ranch, some more cattle. I wish I had more land. That's not what he was saying. He was saying, God, give me more territory. Expand my influence. Enlarge my life so that I can make a greater impact for you. You see it? As a steward of God's blessing, he was saying, God, bless me more. Expand my territory so that I can have a greater impact for the kingdom of God. A few weeks ago, I was in Jerusalem walking the ancient city in the Jewish quarter. And right after lunch, I noticed that there were several juice stands around the old city of Jerusalem. In fact, at one point, I stood there watching these kids make juice. They had all these different fruits. They had pomegranate and some other fruits I didn't even recognize. And then I saw them grab a couple of oranges, and I was just going to watch them as they prepared a drink for someone. This kid took an orange, and he cut it in half. He got half the orange in this hand, half in the other hand, put them over a cup, and then he started to squeeze. Squeeze this, one at a time. He's just squeezing the orange juice into the cup. It got about halfway up the cup. He threw those oranges away, grabbed another orange, cut it in half, and repeated the process. He squeezed a little bit here, squeezed a little bit here, until finally, after two oranges, the juice had reached the top of the cup. Well, I went around walking around. I was like, well, that was kind of cool. Didn't think much of it until I came across another juice stand. And this juice stand was different. It didn't have children. It had a man that was working there. And he wasn't going to hand squeeze the fruits. This guy had a machine. And so he took the same kind of orange. He cut that orange in half. He placed both halves in this machine. And I watched as this machine squeezed these oranges to the point where there was no more juice. There was no more pulp. In fact, the orange peel was so thin, it looked like an orange piece of paper. And I looked down at the cup. It was the same size cup as the other place was using. Only this time, after just one orange, the juice was at the same level at the top of the cup. Man, as I watched that, I thought to myself, you know, that's a great picture of how each of us should approach our time here on planet Earth. I thought, man, that's the way I want to live my life. Not where God gets a little bit here and a little bit there from time to time, but where God can get and where God can squeeze and where God can utilize every single drop of potential out of my life for his kingdom and his glory while I'm here on planet Earth. Listen, you get what I'm saying today? That's what Jabez was praying. He said, Lord, bless me. Lord, extend my borders. He's saying, do whatever it takes in my life so that you get every single drop of potential while I'm still here. Can you pray the same today? He continued in this prayer. After praying that every drop would be utilized, he also said, and Lord, I want you to keep your hand on me. I want you to keep your hand on me. When you see that in the text, I want you to see when Jabez was praying that God would keep his hand on him, he was praying for three things. He's praying for God's power to be on him. He's praying for God's protection to be on him. And he's praying for God's favor to be on him. See, God can bless your life today. God can extend your territory and give you greater influence than you've ever had. But without his power, without his protection, without his favor, you will never be maximized for him. When I look at this, this is a prayer of humility, because when you ask God for his hand to be on you, what you're doing is you're admitting to God that you can't do this alone. You don't have what it takes. You're not capable of doing what God can do in your story. You're saying, God, I need you right now. God, this is too big for me right now. Listen, God's power is around you all the time, but it's different when God's power is in you, right? He can be around you all the time, but when God's power is working in you and working through you, it's way different. And that's what Jabez is praying in this text. He's saying, God, I need you to bless me. I need you to do what I can't do and extend my borders. I need you to keep your hand on me because I need your power and your protection and your favor on my life. And last but not least, look at what he says. He said, and Lord, I need you to keep me from harm. I need you to keep me from evil. You know, after years of studying the devil and how he thinks and how he acts and how he moves, I've discovered one thing about his process that you've probably discovered in your life as well. And that is this: the devil loves to surround us with the thing that we struggle with the most. And everybody's different. You have your own struggle, you have your own struggle, you have your own struggle, and the devil knows. He's been reading you like a book since the day you were born. And so he is going to not only study you, but he has made it his J-O-B to tempt you and to entice you. Because if he can entice you into sin, he knows he got you. It's over. I mean, he's locked in on you at that point because he knows what the sin's going to lead to. So what is it that the devil does in your story? What does he surround you with? The answer, whatever you struggle with. You know what that says to me? That the devil knows what he's doing, so we better know what we're doing. Here's what James said in James 1. He said, "But each person is tempted when he is drawn away and enticed by his own evil desire." Do you see that? His own evil desire. "Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin is fully grown, it gives birth to death." The devil knows what he's doing, and he surrounds you with what you struggle with. So in other words, if you struggle with sexual sin and lust, you may be the only person in your world that knows that. But you better believe the devil knows it. And he knows not only that, he knows exactly what he needs to do to entice you to sin. So you better understand, he's going to put an unlocked, unmonitored smartphone in your hand if you struggle with that. He's going to put you in an environment where you're looking at things you shouldn't be looking at. He's going to put you in a place where you're around people that you shouldn't be spending time with. If that's your struggle, he's going to make it his mission to entice you to sin. You can fool everybody in your world, but you cannot fool God. And the devil knows, if I can get you here, I can get you everywhere. If your struggle is with gossip, you think, "Oh, that's a tiny sin. It's not that big of a deal." It's a big deal to God. And the devil knows that. So if you struggle with gossip, you better believe the devil's going to surround you with big mouth, small-minded, insecure people that have nothing better to do than to talk about other people's business. You know why he does that? Because it's his J-O-B. It's his job to entice you to sin. And if you start thinking this is a tiny sin and not a big deal, you're wrong. It's a big deal to God. If you struggle with greed, the devil knows that. And he's going to give you opportunity after opportunity to see yourself as the god of your money and all of your stuff. You know why? Because the devil knows if you look at your money like it's all yours, you'll never recognize the source of your blessings. And if you don't recognize the source of your blessings, you're not going to steward those blessings in a way that your blesser told you to steward them. And so the devil knows. He knows what the sin is, he knows what the struggle is, and he's going to surround you with things that are going to entice you to sin. It's his job to entice you to sin. And like James said, that sin, when it's fully grown, guess what? The sin always grows up. But when it's fully grown, it's going to give birth to death. Get it in your notes today. Unaddressed, unconfessed sin leads to death, according to the word of God. So all of that to say this, Jabez knew. He knew the word of God. And that's why in this prayer he said, "Lord, I need you to keep me from harm. Lord, I need you to keep me from evil." Why? He told you why. "So that I will not experience pain." Pretty ironic, huh? You got this man named Pain praying a prayer to God and recognizing that the only way for my life to avoid becoming my namesake is through the power of God. And he knew that the primary way to experience the power of God was through the power of prayer. So what did Jabez do? He prayed. He prayed, "God, bless me. Extend my border. Keep your hand on me. And keep me from harm, from evil." And once again, the Bible says that God heard his prayer and granted his request. Do you believe in the power of prayer? Do you believe that God listens, that he responds? Do you believe that he is the, the giver of all blessings, the source of all things. Then with that being understood, let me ask you a simple question. Are you praying? Are you really praying for God to bless your life? Are you praying for God to give you more territory and give you more influence so that your ministry can be expanded and more people can know Jesus? Are you praying for God to keep his hand on you, to bless you with his power and his protection and the favor of God on your life? Are you praying every single day for God to keep you from evil? If not, why? Well, why not? Why wouldn't we pray that prayer and believe God for his answer? Well, let me tell you why most Christians aren't praying these prayers today. It's because somewhere down the line, we've chosen to believe the devil's lies. We don't pray big prayers because we have been reduced to having small faith and small minds. We've believed the devil when he's whispered in our ear and says, hey, don't even think about praying that prayer because God can't do anything with you. He can't do more in your life. He can't give you more or bless you more. This is God's will. Don't ask for anything different. You don't deserve the blessings of God. You aren't worthy of his favor. You can't handle more territory. If God gave it to you, what would you do with it? You know what you do? You waste it. You would squander it. Man, the devil has been running his mouth a long time. And what happens is when we believe his lies, is over time, instead of choosing to walk by faith, instead of believing God for more, instead of us being willing to pursue God and to chase God's very best, you know what we end up doing? We end up settling for something far less. He wired us to pursue his best. The devil's convinced us to settle for far less. As Jabez prayed this prayer, he was essentially telling God, God, I refuse to settle for less than your best. I want you to hear those words again. I refuse to settle for less than your best. I repeat that because I hope to plant it as a seed in your heart today. Man, imagine if all of us decided that from this moment forward, we would refuse to settle for less than God's best. Imagine what would happen. The reason so few people are maximized is because so many of us are satisfied. The reason so few of us can say before God, I am maximized in this life, is because so many of us are satisfied with what we have. Satisfied Christians are rarely maximized. And I say that because they tend to live in this land of mediocrity. Satisfied Christians, we live in a land of passivity. We live in a land of apathy. They're not walking by faith. They're not pursuing God's best. But instead, we've chosen to simply exist. Exist and run out the clock and live our life like there's nothing better. Don't be a satisfied Christian. God doesn't want you to be a satisfied Christian. See, a satisfied Christian is a partially engaged believer. Not a believer that's all in with Jesus. I'm saying just partially engaged. A believer that's okay with attending church whenever it's convenient, whenever the weather's right, right? A believer that's okay with living for the Lord on Sunday, but then living like the world the rest of the week. It's a believer that's okay with giving what they want to give, when they want to give it, doing what they want to do, when they want to do it. It's a person that's okay with making up their own rules and putting the Bible on the shelf. It's a satisfied believer. You rarely see satisfied Christians praying. I mean, they'll pray a couple of words before they eat food or before they go to bed, but really, I'm talking about praying. You'll rarely see a satisfied believer witnessing and sharing their faith. You'll rarely see them sacrificing for the Lord and giving what's hard to give. Why? Because they're satisfied with where they are. But you know what? Satisfied believers are believers that are leaving God's blessings in the barn. You want to be satisfied and you're content. And you're like, listen, I don't want any more from God. I'm good with this. And you're not even using what God's blessed you with already. You know what you're doing? You're leaving God's blessings and God's best in the barn. That's why God says, don't be a satisfied Christian. You know why? Because God doesn't want you to sit and soak. He wants to bless you today. He wants to empower you. He wants to use you to build the kingdom of God. He wants your life to be lived as a living sacrifice, striving for more and longing to be faithful to Him. He doesn't want you to be a satisfied Christian, and He doesn't want this to be a satisfied church. He wants to bless His church. He wants to empower His church. He wants to use His church to fulfill the Great Commission. God wants His church to go for it. God wants His church to trust Him and to go for it. He wants us to be wholly devoted to the Lord our God. Do you believe that today? You say, how do I go from being satisfied to being expectant? The only thing that will move a person from satisfaction to expectation is a heart that is changed by God and the power of prayer to God. Prayer changed the life of Jabez. And I believe that prayer can change your life as well. When you look at this scripture and others that are similar, you will see that prayer is the hand that moves the heart of God. Jabez prayed, God, bless me. And He blessed him. He said, extend my borders. And He did. He said, keep your hand on me. And God kept His hand on him. He said, keep me from harm. Keep me from evil. And God granted his request. Listen, can I encourage you today to take a challenge and commit your life to praying these same things? The Bible says that God heard the prayer of Jabez and granted his request. And in the same way, man, I want to pray and believe that God will do the same in my life, that God would do the same in your life. When James says, you do not have because you do not ask, I don't want that to apply to my journey. If God chooses not to bless me or God chooses not to grant my request, that's okay if it's God's will, but it's not going to be on me anymore. I'm going to at least throw it out there and ask Him. And I'm not just going to ask. I'm going to ask Him and believe Him. Man, let's be people that ask of God. Let's be people that believe in God. And may we believe that He not only hears us, but that He would respond to us and that He would bless us according to His will.